There are people who hear the Word of God, who pass by it without a moment's concern. Some people hear the Word of God only once, but many others hear it numerous times. Tragically, they appear more concerned with the environment in the worship service than they are with the truth of God's Word. There are people in hell who have heard the Word of God in this life without any response to it at all. It has made no impression upon them in the least. There are without doubt people who have listened to the preaching of the Word of God in this church over the years who have ignored every such privilege. There is something we must not miss in the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said that when the Word of God goes forth, when the sower goes forth to sow, there is intense activity in the spiritual realm. There is warfare going on, of which so many people are ignorant. The devil and his allies attend to the proclamation of the Word of God. And the concern they have is that the Word of God, as it is proclaimed, will not affect you at all. There are times when the devil comes into a meeting such as this one and swoops down to remove the Word of God from your heart by some distraction, lest you should begin to think upon it and turn to Christ. For the devil's suggestion is that you are in control of your life and of your destiny, and so that you can take all the time you want to follow Christ. On January 16th, 2003, the space shuttle Columbia began its long-awaited and frequently postponed mission with a fiery launch from the Kennedy Space Center at Cape Canaveral, Florida. Just 80 seconds into the flight, a briefcase-sized piece of insulating foam weighing perhaps 2 pounds from the shuttle's external fuel tank peeled away from the tank and struck the shuttle's left wing on its leading edge at the speed of 500 miles per hour. Unknown to the crew and the ground controllers was that the impact that many considered to be innocuous smashed a 16-inch wide hole in the edge of the wing. At that moment, 80 seconds into the flight, the shuttle's doom was certain. The astronauts were sure to lose their lives. But for the following 16 days, they continued about their mission on board the space shuttle, assuming that all was well. They went about their experiments in their space laboratory that was in the shuttle's payload bay. The ground controllers, who were aware of what happened during the launch, overcame doubts that some expressed and assured the astronauts that there was no cause for concern. On the morning of February 1st, the crew prepared for re-entry to the Earth's atmosphere. There is video taken on the flight deck in those moments, showing the astronauts confident, smiling, happy, confident that they would soon on the runway at the Kennedy Space Center greet their families. But as the shuttle dove through the atmosphere, plasma at the temperature of 3,000 degrees entered the left wing through that gaping hole. It melted the internal structure of the wing, and within minutes, the astronauts lost control of the shuttle, lost communication with the ground, and lost their lives. The cabin suffered a decompression at a very high altitude, and they had not had come to the point where they would close the visors on their helmets, so instantly they lost consciousness. And within seconds, they were dead. The Columbia disintegrated into thousands of pieces that rained down across East Texas and Western Louisiana. And it took months to recover all the wreckage. The investigation after the accident revealed that once that collision during the launch occurred, there was no chance that the astronauts would return alive. For how many people is such a scenario unfolding in their lives? Doom overshadows them, but they are sure that all is well. The devil is the great arguer. He wants to snatch the word of the truth away. He convinces some people that the message of the Word of God is for someone else. The seed falls on the wayside, on the hardened ground. And as soon as it does, Jesus said, the birds swoop down to take it away. It's a picture of the condition of depraved people. If they get to hear the Word of God, they don't care anything about the privilege. The first part of the Lord's parable, as he emphasized in his exposition, draws our attention to those who are careless about the truth. And I want you to think upon that theme this morning, careless about the truth. No one can escape the responsibility that attaches to those who have the privilege of hearing the Word of God. There's great accountability for those who hear the Word of God. Elsewhere, the Lord Jesus warned his hearers to take heed how they heard the Word of God. Take heed how ye hear. And here's the warning of this entire parable. For those who have the privilege of hearing the Word of God, there is a stern requirement. There is an accounting to give. And if they care nothing about it, they will lose the opportunity. The message is clear. Listen carefully to the Word of God. Do all that you can to shut out the distractions that may take your mind away from what you're hearing. Ask God before you ever come to give you the grace and wisdom to hear the Word of God profitably. I want us to consider three aspects of the first part of this parable today. First, the sower's care. And here, there will be some overlap with some of the things we considered last Lord's Day. But we read at the very beginning of the parable, "Behold," Jesus is saying, pay attention. Look, a sower went forth to sow. We know who the sower is because the Lord tells us who it is. The Lord spoke of himself going forth to sow. The Lord came into the world to sow the seed of the gospel of the kingdom, to seek the souls of those whom the Father gave to him before the foundation of the world. Here is the picture of the farmer. The farmer has his field. And as long as the farmer says, you know, I like the comfort of the house, I think I'm just going to stay here. The weather might not be so good out there. I'm going to stay here. And if he follows that approach, the crop will never get in the ground. Here's the picture of Christ leaving the comfort of his home to plant seed in the field that is the world. Because you see, the sower here has his eye not on the difficulties, not on the obstacles, but he has his eye on the harvest. And he takes every action to that end. So here's the picture of our Lord Jesus leaving the glories of heaven to cloak himself in the visibility of human flesh to become Emmanuel, the God-man, in order to bring the message of the gospel into the world. His going forth to sow was an act of condescension. It was an act of humiliation. He came into the world as an infant, born into poverty in a small Judean shepherd's village called Bethlehem, and growing up in the midst of the poverty of a carpenter's shop in Nazareth. Jesus said that such was the extent of his poverty, he had no property. He had no place that he could call his own on which to lay his head. You can think about that every night when you lay your head on your pillow. He came with compassion for sinners. That is, he saw people caught under the burdens of sin and guilt, blinded by wickedness, and he loved them. And so he took on himself the form of a servant, and the ultimate condescension was that he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He went forth to sow. He sowed the Word of God. The message he had was the message of sacrifice. It was the message of salvation through the sacrifice of the Redeemer. And the emphasis was, there's no hope without that message. There's no message that brings salvation apart from the cross. You can get every book that's ever been published on how to improve yourself. It won't save your soul. You can go to places where you can be amused and entertained. Doing so will not save your soul. The only hope you have is in the word that the sower went forth to sow. And the verdict of the word is that sinners have no ability to rescue themselves. The sower's care. He sowed with tears. But our text tells us that some of the seed fell by the wayside. Some seeds fell by the wayside. The wayside is that part of the ground that is not cultivated. People walk on the wayside. We would liken it to a sidewalk or a walking path of some kind. Some seeds fell there. Because in the design to get the seed planted in the good ground, some of the seed just fell by the wayside. And here is the picture of the second thing that we find here in our text, the hearer's hardness. The hearer's hardness. The human heart is hard. It's the testimony throughout Scripture. Here are people who hear the Word of God without any positive response. Some hear it and ignore it. In verse 19, as the Lord expounds the parable to His disciples, He said, "When any one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not..." How many people there are who hear the word of God and don't understand it? They don't grasp the meaning of it. Oh, they think they get it. The people who heard the parable, they thought they got it. What a nice story about the sower, about the farmer going to plant his seed, and as some of the seed fell by the wayside and the birds came. Well, it's a nice story. They thought they understand it. People boast in their ability to reason it out. But Christ said in this passage that they did not understand it. They did not understand it, and they had no capacity to do so. Look at verses 14 and 15. Here is his explanation of why he speaks in parables to them. Verse 14, "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their eyes are dull of hearing, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them." No understanding. And yet they think all is well. They think that they get it. They hear about the crucified Christ. They see the words on the wall behind me. And they think they get it. But there's no understanding. There may be some superficial interest. But it is as though they didn't hear it at all. Think, as we come into the holiday season, think how many people hear about the advent of Christ into the world. They hear all the familiar songs, the carols, and everything else that goes with the season. And they have some passing sentimental interest. It gives them a warm feeling. But in terms of the purpose for all of it, they're indifferent. They're careless. They have eyes, Jesus said, but they don't see. They have ears, but they don't hear. I have seen it over the years in this very church. People who are hearing, that is physically, they hear the words that come forth from the pulpit, but it's like afterward nothing happened. They can't wait for the sermon to be over so that they can return to other pursuits. Some, we learn, mock the Word of God. We turn forward in Matthew to chapter 22. Matthew 22. Here the Lord was telling another parable. In verse 2, he said, "The kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, 'Tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage.' But they made light of it." Here, the master is saying, "I have prepared the feast." They made light of it. Let's turn to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 32, Paul speaking to the men of Athens on Mars Hill. When he came to speak about the resurrection of the dead, we read in verse 32, "When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, 'We will hear thee again of this matter.'" Some mocked. That was the seed that fell by the wayside. Some mocked. You see why the message of the sower who goes forth is with a solemn warning. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. "Therefore, we ought to give." Notice how the Holy Spirit puts it here. "The more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." That's the message that goes forth with the Word of God, that the sower goes forth to sow. Be careful. Give heed. Give more earnest heed, not only to the things which you are hearing now, but to the things that you have heard. Be careful that you do not dismiss the seed of the Word of God, because the devil will come and snatch it away. And then there is a solemn warning from the sower. And that's the third part of this text to which we come, the devil's denial. The devil's denial. The snatching away of the Word of God, that is the devil's work. To strip away the Word of God, to deny the truth of it. The somber reality that we find in our text is that the enemy of Christ, the devil himself, with all his allies, is active whenever and wherever the sower goes forth to sow. Here's a reason for us to pray that the Lord will bless and honor the preaching of the word, because this is warfare. That there are people who are careless about the truth is the result of the devil's activity. People who come and go from the place of the holy, they go away and they don't even think about what they heard. That's the result of the devil's activity. The birds have come down to snatch away the word. And why does the devil take this approach? Well, if we turn to Luke chapter 8, this is Luke's parallel account of this parable. In verse 12, the Lord Jesus is expounding the parable to the disciples. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Let's face the reality. The devil does not want people to be saved. And he is aware of the power of the Word of God, so he wants to get it away from people, to have them be careless about it. And his operations to that end are very clear in the Scriptures. Let us turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom, notice this, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. So here Paul identifies the people of whom he speaks, them that are lost, and now we find their condition in whom? In those that are lost. The God of this world hath blinded their minds. And yet all the time, they think they get it. They think they see. They think they understand. But Paul was saying there, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the devil is blinding their minds. People don't get it. And yet, they think that everything is fine. They're like those astronauts on the space shuttle Columbia. Somebody from the ground told them at one point, when they were going to have a press conference from on board the spacecraft, just in case anybody should ask them about this concern. So they told them about this piece of foam that struck the orbiter during launch. But they said, but this has happened a number of other times and there was no problem. And they were convinced there was no problem on this occasion. So they went on their way. And all of them died. Here's the picture of people who hear the word of God. And the devil comes alongside to say, oh, yeah, that's a good message for other people. But actually, if you do the best you can, you'll be all right in the end. You don't have anything to worry about. The devil comes to snatch away the seed, and there will not be a harvest. So there is a solemn warning in the Lord's words for every person who hears the word of God. Take heed. Be careful how you hear. You have to receive the word of God as the message that leads you to behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, who deals with your sin. You have to hear the word of God as the only message that must rivet your attention. I often think about Lydia, of whom we read in Acts 16, that the Lord opened her heart. And what was the evidence of her heart being open? She attended to the things that Paul and his colleagues proclaimed. That's how you have to hear the word of God. You have to give attention to it, because it alone leads you to the fruitful fields of the harvest that endures forever. Be careful how you hear, because some of the seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured it. Hear the word of God today and attend to it, because that word leads you always to Christ, to the Redeemer of his people, the one who alone deals with sin. May God bless his word to your heart today and grant there to be fruit remaining for it, for Jesus' sake.